All right, as we begin, we're going to talk this series about downloading strength. And the premise behind it is fairly simple. As I said, we're going to start in Ephesians 6, but we're going to kind of move and look at some other things. But the idea is is not overly deep or profound. It's simply this, that we are promised in the Bible strength. God gives us strength. And yet, for a lot of followers, a lot of people, as they move through their life, there's moments or seasons of our life that we don't feel incredibly strong. And so, if we're promised strength, but yet we have a lot of times in our life that we don't feel strong, how do we manage to take the strength that God promises and the strength that He gives and do what we need to do to get it into us, so to speak, and start living our lives with strength? And so that's kind of where we're going to go, and that's what we're going to look at. And I'm sure we'll chase it, you know, sideways and around the horn a little bit, but that's okay. We'll get there. If that's not what you want to do, then the other course that we're teaching right now is called Making Space for God. Because in the crowded life that you have and the busy life you have, we're not talking about priorities as much as we are just letting God have that space that's already His and finding Him and discovering Him in the spaces that we live each day. And so that's going on up in Area 51. So come on in. So let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. And somebody read to us all the way to verse 20, a familiar passage, the armor of God, but we're not really talking about the armor of God that much. But that's okay. It's a good place to start. Somebody read out loud, verse 10.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Putting on the armor of God, discovering the strength that God has for us. If you're a sports fan, you may be familiar with the name of Denny Morrison. Oh, good. You'll never hear a story then. Okay. He is a Canadian speed skater. He won his first Olympic medal in 2006. And then he continued winning medals all the way through the 2014 Winter Games. As he came out of the 2014 Winter Games, his eyes were firmly set on the 2018 Games in South Korea. But in May of 2015... he was in a motorcycle accident and barely survived multiple serious injuries, including an accident that left him with a titanium rod in his leg. So he came back from that injury and began rehabilitation as soon as possible because his goal was still to qualify for the 2018 Olympics. But the next year, 2016, after he and his girlfriend Josie Spence, completed a three-week bike trip, Spence noticed that Morrison was acting weird, slurred speech, droopy face, left side weakness, left foot flip-flop that kept falling off, and she knew the signs, and she rushed him to the hospital, and he was diagnosed as having a stroke. Again, Morrison recovered and went right back into training, but he was also struggling with the mental after effects of the stroke, including depression. Remarkably, in 2017, he and Spence is a Canadian speed skater, both qualified to represent Canada at the 2018 Olympics. Training for that level of competition pushes athletes to their limits, But for Morrison, I mean, he had to overcome a lot more than that. And his teammates repeatedly said that he was their inspiration to keep on going no matter what. His coach called him the most resilient person he'd ever met. And I'd love to tell you that the end of the story was that he won the gold medal in 2018, and it was great and glorious. He did not. Instead, he competed, which in and of itself was a huge victory because it came as a result of grit and determination. And when Morrison was asked about it, he said this: it's human nature to encounter adversity, and when you do, there's a choice you have to make. Are you going to fight? Are you going to overcome and work toward your goals? Or are you going to give up and fail? When things stand in the way between you and what you want to achieve, it is the grit factor that gets you where you want to go. Goals don't come easy for anyone. Doesn't matter what you're trying to do. But if you make a gritty attempt and push forward, you'll surprise yourself and everyone else with how far you can go. He overcame a lot. He faced a lot. And in some ways, and we're going to be talking about this morning a little bit later in worship, that, you know, those were giants to overcome, no doubt about it. But for Denny Morrison, he discovered that strength comes in many forms, and so does weakness, by the way. And for my life, if you were to inventory my life, what I might say is a strength or a weakness might be entirely different than what you would evaluate your life as when it comes to strength and weaknesses. If I were to say, this morning, let's just talk about what your weaknesses are, and let's throw them all out on the table. You know, you might hear something in the room, and when that person goes, that's a weakness, you would go, boy, I've never even struggled with that. You know, but then when someone else says something, you can go, gosh, you know, I can identify with that, because that's one of the things that you know, that's where I'm weak. And so understand that when the Bible talks about the fact that we are going to have to face things, and we're going to have to overcome things, and we're going to need strength, you know, it talks in some broad terms because all of us are wired by God differently. Our DNA is different. Our life experiences are different. But there can be all sorts of causes for things that can weaken us. They can be external. It can be an injury. It can be a loss. It can be a mistreatment by others. It can be internal. It can be doubt. It can be poor choices. It can be pride. It can be addictions. And yet, we're told in the passage that you just heard Brittany read that in every situation, there is an armor that is available to us that allows us to face and go into spiritual battle and to do so with a confidence and boldness. If you go back and look real close, as he's making this appeal to the Ephesians, which is really closing out his letter here, in verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." In the Phillips translation of the Bible, it reads this way: be strong, not in yourselves, but in the Lord, and in the power of his boundless resources. And so for Paul, as a writer, this is not a new idea. He talks about this throughout the Bible and throughout the letters that he wrote. But also, he's echoing something that shows up time and time again in God's Word. Take your Bibles and go to Joshua chapter 1. That's in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1. And when you get there, read verse 6. Out loud, somebody.
"Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them."
Read verse 7.
"Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do."
Read verse 9.
9. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Do you see a pattern, right? Be strong and be courageous, or be strong and have courage. You know why that was the command, right? Because they would need strength and they would have to have courage. See, we want strength sometime without ever having to step in the arena to use it. But the Bible doesn't work that way. Be strong and have courage. Well, the reason you're going to need to be strong is because you're going to be in a situation where you're going to have to be courageous, and you're going to need to draw on that strength to face the situation. But yet in our lives, we get frustrated. Maybe you don't, but I do. But we get frustrated because we don't feel strong like we want to feel strong. And we want the strength to set in before we need it. In other words, we want to walk out feeling strong like we can whip the world, but we don't even know what we're trying to whip. And yet, the pattern in Scripture seems to indicate that the strength that God gives us is a strength that He gives us, and He gives it to us as we need it, because there are going to be situations where we're going to recognize that we have a serious need to have courage. Now, I would love for him to send me an email every morning and say, Jeff, today I'm going to give you, 9 allotments of courage, because you're going to be facing, in less than 1 hour, item number 1, and there'll be 8 others coming behind it. I'd love for that to be because I want to know. I like to know what's coming. I like to be prepped for that. But that doesn't seem to be how it works. You get the strength that you need when you need it, and there are going to be situations that you're going to have strength. And that's the pattern of it. You're not exempt from that. I don't know anybody that is, even though we'd like to say that, but we're not exempt. There are going to be situations where you're going to need to have courage. So the good news is that when you need to have courage, you're going to have the courage and the strength that you need if you're a follower of God. But it doesn't exempt you from having to face those situations. So for all those moments where you feel weak or you feel like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Haven't I had enough yet? Haven't I had my allotment yet? The answer is no. You say, I've had my fill of stuff. No. You say, but I've had more than I can handle. Now you're getting closer. Because the key is not about how much you can handle. And it never has been. The key is how much you can handle with God. And sometimes you get more because God's in the process of doing something that's a little bit beyond what you're understanding, because you are going to have to trust Him. See, if you can do it without God, you don't need God. You might as well be God. And there's a lot of stuff that we do that we never lean back into God for help. And you know it's true. There's some stuff that you can put your life on autopilot and you don't even think about, and you just do. And you get to the end of the day and we go, hey, well, was God with you today? Yeah, He was with me today. Did God give you strength today? Yeah, He gave me strength today. But there's nothing that went on in your life where you really know that. I mean, to be honest with you, we just kind of assume He does, because He's God and He's good, right? And He does. And God always comes through. But there are other days when you're really trudging through it. And I mean, you're in the high snow. It's up to your knees and you're having trouble walking. And it seems like every step you take, it's getting slicker and there's more resistance. And then all of a sudden you're carrying stuff that you didn't think you'd have to carry. And you're really slogging it now. And you get to the end of it and you think, my gosh, I did not think I was going to be able to do that. And I ask the question, did God give you the strength you need to? Oh, yeah, He did. Because, man, I made it through this day or this week, and I didn't think I could. And you're going to hear me mention this over the next few weeks a lot, because we're starting a series this morning called Rumble. And we're going to use, a very familiar story that you all know. But I'm going to venture into the story and hopefully, twist it in a couple ways that maybe you've never thought about it before. But we're going to look at David and Goliath. Simple story, we know it. If you were in Sunday school ever as a kid, you've heard the story many, many times. But the reality is, for a lot of us, we become fixated, obsessive, and in a sick way, fascinated by our giants. And we let those giants become so big that we never understand that our focus needs to be on the God who helps us face the giants. And sometimes when you're going through stuff, and I'm talking about serious stuff, and it can be everything from sickness to financial trouble to relationship troubles to whatever it is, sometimes in our lives, because of the way that we are wired, naturally wired, the way that we process, we allow the things that we are struggling with that we need strength for, to be much more powerful than they need to be. Because all we do is fixate and gravitate our life around them, and we put our lives in orbit around the problem or the weakness or the situation or the scenario. And so instead of our lives orbiting around God like it's supposed to, where God is the center of our life and the center of our universe and the center of our all in all, we allow the thing to become the center. And we think about it all the time, and we focus all our attention on it, and we orbit our life around it. And all that we're doing, everything, everywhere we find ourselves, we're always orbiting around the thing, whatever the thing is. And yet, as a follower, you know, that we're supposed to put the center of our world on God, and we're supposed to allow God to be the center of all we do. And everything that we do is supposed to process our lives around it. So when we're orbiting around God, then the thing, whatever it is, gets caught up in that orbit, right? And what happens when things get caught up in the orbit? They orbit, they build up speed, and eventually there's enough to get rid of them. But we never let the things get in God's orbit. We never let the things that bother us get caught up in that orbit so we can ever change and control the trajectory to get rid of it. Instead, what we do is we just start orbiting our life around it. And all of a sudden, we've disconnected from God, and every once in a while, as we're orbiting the thing, whatever the thing is, let's say it's I have no money in my checkbook, and so I'm obsessing over that. And so every time we're orbiting around that, that's our thing. And so that's all, that is focuses our life. Everything I'm doing this day, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about this. Every once in a while, we orbit around, and we catch a glimpse of God. Oh, yeah, God, I'm going to give this to you. Yeah, I am. And as soon as you forget about God, I mean, you give it to God when you walk in the door at 10 o'clock. So by 10:15, you're ready to worship. But by the time you get to lunch at noon, that was good, but we forgot about that. We're already focused again on what Monday holds. And we wait until it comes back around and we catch a glimpse of God again. See, our lives are always orbiting something. And we have to make a decision how we're going to face it. And here we have in Scripture this idea that there's an armor that God lets us put on. It's a uniform that we can face whatever it is we're going to have to face. And we have those reminders that we get in the book of Joshua. Be strong and have courage. Because you're going to need strength and this is going to be tough. No sugarcoating it. Making it something that it's not, just, get ready for this. Matter of fact, if you go back through on more than 30 occasions, God commands someone to be strong over 30 different times individually. And when you read Paul's words that we read here in Ephesians 6, go back and look at it real close. You might logically assume that the commands that are being given is to be strong in order to fight. Because after all, this is a passage about how to equip yourself as a soldier. And fighting is what soldiers do. But look real close. If you read the passage more carefully, you discover that it's not as much a call to fight as it is a call to stand. Look back. Four times in Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul uses the language of standing as to how to apply spiritual strength. Look at verse 11. It says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Drop down to verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm, it says in verse 14, with the belt of truth. And so we begin to see a pattern in the 17. I put a note in my Bible. And I bracketed this passage, and it just says, strong to stand. Strong to stand. I get tickled with folks. I get tickled with me sometimes because I get kind of caught up in myself sometimes. I know you find it hard to believe. I kind of get caught up in my greatness. And and there are some times I have foolishly think that I have the strength to stand. I get tickled at folks in the aftermath of what are sometimes tragic events, and I'm not tickled in a ha-ha, you're funny way, but just I'm more of a tickled in a foolish way. Because, we like to muster up those images. We're strong. But you'll remember, some of you did. I actually had to go to a speaking gig at it. You remember after the Pulse shooting, nightclub shooting, the whole world started putting out T-shirts, Orlando Strong, bumper stickers, Orlando Strong, Orlando Strong. But if you go back to our website, it's not there anymore, you go back to our Facebook page, I said Orlando Stands. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody remember that?
Yeah.
We put that picture across our banner, Orlando Stands. And I put a little description there. We are not strong enough as a community to stand up against the forces of evil. We're not strong enough as a community to stand up or to be strong enough to do it. And we can't stand on our own, but we'll stand with God, and with Him's help, we'll get through it. As a result of it, I actually spoke at an event over at Aloma that was an ecumenical kind of event where they actually let me to wade in and address that. And I think I told you guys some of that, because in the aftermath of that, it was such a... those events were getting a lot of press, and so we walked in at night, and there was security coming out the earlobes, and you know, they met you in the parking lot to get you into the place, and you had armed guards with you even before you were waiting in the green room to come out to talk. And then at Aloma that night, and again, it put everybody into a panic. There was a power outage. So 5 minutes before we speak, the building goes dark, and we're in a room that's like a cave. I mean, there's no windows or anything in this little catacomb room we're in. And so all of a sudden, there's a flashlight that pops on the door, and there's an armed guy standing in the room saying, "Don't move, you guys. Stay right here. You'll be fine." I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? I'm not staying in this room. You know, you've lost your mind. I'm not staying in here. So I'm walking out in the hall. He goes, no, Reverend Dixon, you need to stay home. I'm not staying in this room. No way. If there's something going on, I'm not staying in this room with you. You know, and so sure enough, the lights came back on. It was just a glitch. But man, for about 2 minutes, it was just like, everybody's ramping up again. And I had the opportunity to talk that night about the fact that, you know, as strong as I want to be, I got nothing in my tank to prepare me for a mass shooting. I have nothing in my tank that prepares me with the aftermath of a mass shooting. I have nothing in my tank that I can draw from that's basically going to say, I'm going to be okay no matter what, and I can give you a reason, a rationale, and something to go on because you can just be strong. Well, if you're going to ride into your eternity on my strength, I got news for you. You're going to hell. But we can stand as followers. See, I was trying to explain to this group that was there that the theology behind this was right on the money. That your strength comes from God, and the strength that we get is to stand against whatever comes. So yes, there will be times that we got to go and fight. But there's other times where we just need to stand against whatever's going on, because the Bible tells us that God gives us strength, and we're to stand with that. You need that every day of your life. You need to stand. You need to download the strength so that you can stand, because you will face things that you will need courage and you will need strength for, and you can't muster that stuff on your own because it's just not good enough and it just won't last. If you want to supernaturally move into it, you've got to be willing then to say, I know my source of strength, and that's the strength I want to draw from. Because you know what? And maybe it's because I'm getting older. I'm tapping into the fact that I get tired a lot more quickly than I used to. That youthful exuberance of, I can whip the world. Okay, I can't whip the world, but I know who can.
Yes.
The one who created it can whip it, and it can whip it into shape. And it's still his, and so Orlando stands. Orlando's never been strong. If you don't believe me, read the paper. Go ahead. No, you're fine. I was just on a roll, and I wasn't going to be interrupted.
Yeah,
I
didn't.
No, you didn't.
So when you say stand, and maybe you just answered it there, so maybe touch on too soon, is standing just like not escaping or trying to run from it or not crumbling? So when you say stand?
Yes, all those things.
I mean, because in every situation, it's different.
Yeah.
And in every situation... you know, what you need in any given moment is what God gives you, and then what you do with that is I think that's where your gifts and what you're equipped to do and what your life experiences and what your wisdom will let you do, you know. Because, again, you know, in a situation, it may be a situation where, you know, you're going to stand and you're going to be strong, and at the same time, you know, Matt, you need to step forward and do this. You know, you hold the ground, Matt, you go. You know, I mean, and maybe Matt's fight. You know, it could be somebody else's fight, or it could be your fight. You know, and there is there's a phrase that we use, and we've used it in a series a while back. I put it back in my notes again. But from a pure spiritual perspective, we are not fighting for victory, but we're fighting from victory. In other words, again, the theology is sound. When you read Scripture, Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who's loved us. We conquer through him. So we can be more than conquerors because he's already done the heavy lifting and did the conquering. He did it. We're now called to be a part of that. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who gives us the victory? God. That means I didn't go out and get the victory. It just means I get to live in the aftermath of that victory. So I'm not fighting for victory. He did that. I'm fighting from victory. He's the victor. I get to now move forward. And a lot of times in our life, and if you're not a follower, this is where it really comes into play, you're not fighting from victory. You're just doing all the fighting on your own. I want my battles in life, I want my strength in life to come from the fact that Jesus has drawn a line in the sand. He's drawn a line through human history, and that's where I stand, and I move forward from there. And so when I put on that full armor of God, I have the armor on, I can stand against whatever comes my way, and I can move forward. Because you notice in the armor, if you go back and read that real description of the armor, I mean, you know, there's no butt plate. Right? I mean, do you see it in the scripture? I don't see it.
No.
There's no butt plate.
Mm-hmm.
Bad theology. No butt plate. You write that down if you're taking notes. No, there's no butt plate in scripture. Because there's nothing about face, and there's nothing about retreat, and there's nothing about turning your back. The armor that's listed is a battle armor. It's a forward armor. And I really think that's significant. You know, I don't see God covering our backside. Because again, the idea here is, you know, we're fighting from victory. Victory is our starting point. And that's the great news for us as followers. Victory is your starting point. The minute you become a follower, you start from victory. You're in the win column. And because you're in the win column, then life can be different. Now, does it mean it's going to be easy? Oh, heck no. No, 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 no. That's not good theology at all. Does it mean that it's not going to be days that you just feel like you're just getting whooped? Well, no, because, I mean, when you're a soldier in battle, you're going to get tired. You're going to get weary. It's going to seem like it's just more than you can take. And the truth is, it is. It is. It's more than you can take. I don't know anybody who battles, who tries to be who Jesus wants them to be, that doesn't get tired sometimes. I don't know anybody that doesn't get weary and have to take a few moments every once in a while and go, whew, oh, God, I'm just getting pounded out here. But the key to that is then, do you stop and let what pounding you, or let your giants, as you'll hear a little bit later on, do you let your giants win? Or do you take an inventory and just simply say, this is what I'm dealing with, I'm going to deal with this junk, and I'm going to keep moving forward. See, what happens for us as followers is that I think sometimes in our life, because the world around us gives us a pass on it. Things aren't going good for me. My life stinks. Woe is me. I'm just going to lay down here and just, oh, and people will just pat you on the back. Yes, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. You know, people give you a pass on that because they've all felt that way. The problem is, though, for us as followers, we get those moments, and we need to be very careful about those moments. I think it's okay to struggle with one another, but I also think that there are some times that we take that struggle outside the walls and we put on display for the world sometimes in a bad way. I mean, I think this is the place that we can struggle, and we really need to find the encouragement we need. But I think that sometimes we just kind of put our, you know, it's kind of like when the Bible talks about when you're fasting, don't walk around looking like you're fasting. Don't walk around looking like you're hungry. You're miserable and you're shriveling up and dying. You know, no, when you fast and you're doing something for God, you know, make it, you know, I mean, you know, you remember the world is looking at us sometimes. This is that place. This is that battleground, that training ground, the gymnasium where we can work it out. And, you know, and if Mark's doing it wrong, I can come alongside Mark and say, man, I know you're having a hard time and I know it stinks and, man, I love you, but you know what? When you walk out that door, game on, you got to fight. You know, there's a fine line in that somewhere. And then, because, see, sometimes we forget that encouragement, and I know Ian has taught on encouragement a couple times on a couple different occasions, and encouragement is, you know, sometimes isn't just a, hey, good job. Sometimes it's a kick in the butt. And the reason that encouragement is that way is because God don't protect your backside. You don't get a butt plate. That's so you get kicked in the butt, because that's encouragement. I just made that up. Don't write that down. Don't write that down. There's something wrong with that theology somewhere. I know if I read long enough, I'll figure that out. But it sounded good. So don't write that down. But in Corinthians, Paul put it this way. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch, Stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. There is for us a strength that's available that we have the privilege as followers of tapping into, and that changes everything. We're called to be strong because we're standing in a victory that's already been won. And I think sometimes as followers, when we take inventory of the world around us and we take inventory of our lives, I think sometimes we forget that. And I think that sometimes, you know, we allow our lives in to shift a little bit. And we let our lives start orbiting the stuff that's hurting us and giving us weakness instead of orbiting and making God the center of our world like he needs to be. Does that make sense at all to you guys?
Yes.
That's all introduction stuff, okay. Yes. Questions about that before we kind of start jumping off and talking about other things?
Hey, just an observation, Jeff. I mean, for years now we've heard about this whole idea that there is no truth and it's all relative, and now we're starting to see that really playing out in society everything seems to be in flux, and I found myself at times distracted by the fact that there are no absolutes anymore. There aren't two sexes. Everything's all weird and wonky, and that can get really distracting.
Sure. Mm. Sure.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's real easy to get horribly discouraged and lost, really, in, you know, the events of the day, which is why, and I know some of you have done this before, and you told me about it, and I appreciate you taking my advice because it makes me more conscious when I give advice, because I want to give it right. But, you know, but if some of you have told me, I did what you said, I'm like, what did I say? And they said, yeah, you told us that if it was really bothering us to quit watching the news so much. And so some of you in this room have kind of cut back on watching the news a little bit because it was making you crazy. And you know what? It will make you crazy. And I figured that out, though. You know, you got to, I'm not going to go off on the news, but let me just tell you about the news. Recognize that when you turn on the news, what you're turning on now is not news anymore. You're turning on entertainment. Okay? You're turning on entertainment. The number one cable network in the world is a news network. Okay? If you like that slant of news, you'll love it. But don't kid yourself, they are entertainers. You can't find a newsman anymore or a newswoman. You're finding spokespeople and pundits and talking points, and most of the stuff is coming off the teleprompter that is being written for them by whoever is controlling the station. And here's the case in point. Here's the best illustration of it all. You ever have a news anchor that you think, man, I like them. They're really good. And then they switch and they go to another network. I promise you, the chasm is not as great as it is if you go from a CNN to a Fox. So if you watch one of those networks and you like one of those reporters, you like one of those anchors, well, when their contract runs out and they jump to another network, listen to them again and go, oh, my gosh, what did I ever like that person for, right? Because they're going to be saying stuff you're like, you never said that on the other network. You're not balanced anymore. You've lost your mind. Well, you know, no, what they're doing is that they have basically sold their soul and they're going to keep their job. Why? Because our news networks are entertainment. They're just finding the audience that likes that brand entertainment. You want to lean to the right and be conservative? You're going to watch Fox. You want to lean to the left and be a little bit more progressive, and that's a buzzword these days, watch CNN. You want to be left and be a loon, watch MSNBC. They have the most outrageous morning show in America on that channel from a guy who used to be hosted by a guy who used to be a Republican congressman. How crazy is that? How crazy is that, right? You're like, well, you know, no wonder it's such a mess in Washington. Of course. And that's what you got to understand. So if you like entertainment like that, that's great. Local news sometimes is a lot better just to get the local news. I mean, you know, you get a feel for news, you know. that can be a little bit better. But you're watching entertainment. But if you're trying to listen as a follower, you got to understand that there's a balance to all this somewhere in the middle. And if you're not careful, man, it gets really crazy. And you get upset, and you get angry, and there's angst. And yet, take heart. All of this is stuff that really the Bible has told us, you know, you can prepare for this kind of stuff. You know, a loose translation, the world's going to get really wonky before it comes to an end. Well, no, and the thing about it is, though, but recognize the fact that when you make that statement, and I agree, it's wonky, right? And I worry about that. I worry about that for my son, who's young, has got to grow up in that world, but I worried about it for my daughter, who grew up through a world that I thought was wonky as it could get. Oh, no, it got wonkier. But understand, I got a granddaughter that's going to grow up, but she's chasing my son in age. So that's weird. But it's just a wonkiness to the whole thing. And that's wonky too, isn't it? But recognize that when you read those warnings about how the world is going to be, they were written thousands of years ago. And the writers thought it was bad then. Never anticipating how prophetic it was going to be and how crazy it's going to be. So as crazy as it is now, I would venture to say we're not off the crazy train yet. Because I really do think as the culture continues to unravel, I really think that the church landscape changes a lot. Because the church landscape is pretty crazy right now too. And I think the church continues to lose some of its effectiveness. Some churches will. And I think the church loses some more ground before it's over with. I'd love to say there's a resurgence coming. There ain't. Not with the trends that are going on today. There will be some churches and some followers that surge back. But, in our tribe, Southern Baptist Convention, don't kid yourself, the glory days were the 70s. And while we have big baptism days and we take people to the beach and we baptize and it's real visible now, but baptisms have been off every year since, I forget how many years we've been in decline now. You can dress it up and make it a spectacle, but it's still not catching the numbers. So what does that mean? Well, we don't have less people in the world, and we don't have more Christians in the world. So it just means that there's a field that's more white to harvest right there in front of us, and it means that we have to work harder. And I think, as the world gets tough, this idea of having strength comes back into play because, again, it takes more work and you have to stand strong. The great news is we start from a place of victory. We've already won. It's a done deal. I mean, if I kick off this afternoon, I'm going to be with Jesus in glory. It's a good day. It's a good day. And you know that. And so you start from a position where you're just strong. And if you can learn to operate your life in keeping the orbit around God as it needs to be, then the wonkiness that can take us away from it and can become obsessive about it, and maybe you need to turn off TV, maybe you need to quit looking, maybe you need to unplug your internet. as great as it is to Google, that's crazy sometimes too. It can be scary stuff, So, it's amazingly frustrating when inside of ourselves we know we need to be stronger and yet we can't seem to find that source of strength. And so we were not going to get there today, but we eventually are going to really discover, I think, some practical helps for us to find strength. I had an illustration from Lord of the Rings, but I won't use that. I know. Some of you are fans. One of the things, too, that I think you have to understand that it gets a little wonky, and I am probably, and again I will make this admission even though we're recording this, but most people won't listen this deep in the recording. I am probably one of the worst guys to make the statement I'm getting ready to make, because I've spent the bulk of my professional career urging followers to get their eyes off of Satan and don't find Satan under every rock. You're not doing anything big and bad enough for Satan to mess with you. You've heard me say that out loud. And I believe that. I mean, by the way, I'm believing that. I do believe that. I'm not sure I've never met anybody that's really met Satan. They think they have. Because Satan is not omnipotent, omniscient. He is not everywhere. He cannot read your mind. You know, Satan does not have the same power of God. It's not God and Satan. Satan is not God's equal. Satan is a step and fetch it on his best day. He is a created being that got kicked out of heaven because he got greedy. And he's evil. But he ain't God. Okay? Got to get that right. So any Hollywood horror movie you've ever seen, this unravels it. Probably at the end, especially if evil seems to triumph. Because the only reason they're doing that is because they want a sequel. That's why it's there. So Satan is not everywhere. He's not doing everything. Now, does he have demons? Oh, yeah. You know, have you met a demon? Probably so. I've met some fans from other schools that I'm convinced are demons. But you probably met demons. But understand that you have to stand firm, though, because we were just reading that there is an attack, a spiritual attack that come. They hit you at your point of weakness. I mean, they know where is your chink in your armor? And so that's where Satan will unleash his forces, the world around you. That's where the attacks come. Here's your strong end. If there's an attack, you just move through that real quick. Paul, though, as he writes, because he's the one that kind of let us in on that, you know. He talks about that thorn in the side. He kept asking God to remove it. Because for Paul, he was convinced that this is my source of weakness. This is making me weak. It's making me weak, making me weak. And God kind of flipped that on him. No. Because in your weakness, I'm made strong. See it for what it is. See, there are times that while those attacks come and we say, oh, I'm just so weak. I'm so weak. I'm so weak in that area. Our reaction needs to be, and we need to learn in our lives to say, you know, yes, I'm weak in that area, but God, you are so strong. You are so strong because you're carrying me. You are so strong because you're taking care of this. You are so strong because you know what? I want to lay down and die, but I'm not going to do it. I want to quit, but I'm not going to quit because God, you're so strong. You know, this really hurt me bad and I'm scared, God, but you know what? You're not scared and you know what's going on. So I'm going to trust you and keep moving on. In my weakness, he's made strong. That's Paul's theme over and over and over again. And so the question is, for this downloading God's strength into your life, obviously it comes with an intimacy with God that goes deeper than maybe what we have sometimes, but also is learning of how to understand it and recognize it and see it and see it at work in our life. And if we can do that, then we can have a life where we really do live our lives from a position of victory. Because every one of you in this room, if you've made a decision to believe, trust, and follow Jesus, you're a winner. It's that old rap song. You're a winner, not a loser. You're the head and not the tail. I mean, you are everything that you were supposed to be, and you can be more. And there is an and then some life that is waiting for you that comes from a position of strength. You get to live from a position of strength. Not your strength, God's strength, which is better than your strength. I promise you that. All right, we got to be done. I'll yield the room because this is a cup of Joe, so I want to make sure people can get in and get their coffee. Let's pray. Any more questions though before we pray? Thoughts? Make sense? All right. We'll pick up next week and talk about finding the strength we need. God, we are tragically flawed, horribly broken, incredibly insecure, and we really don't have it together as much as the people around us think we have it together. And yet, we find the ability to move through life and move through life in such a way that there's strength and there's victory and there are wins that are out there that we're able to claim. Miss God, I just ask that you would help us to have a confidence, not in ourselves, but in you, to always remember what you've done. How you've done it. And be quick to lean into you and trust you. Lord, even this morning as we move into a time of worship where we're going to think about those opponents that we face in life, the giants that are out there in our lives, I pray that we would come face to face with the reality of not just the giants, but the reality with how we choose to face them and why that matters. And so, Lord, take us now and move us through the rest of this day as we begin a new year together. and allow it to be our greatest year of growth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.